Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. With me, as always, is Senior Staff Writer and my co-host Ryan Whitfield. And returning to join us for a record third time in a row is one of our other Senior Staff Writers, Joey Alibro. My name is Akun Wong. I'm the Editor-in-Chief. And we've got a lot to talk about this week. But before we jump into that, I know most of our listeners at least paid somewhat attention to the college football team. And Joey, I know you got a lot invested here in Georgia, and we had some words about Georgia, and boy, man, did they implode against Alabama in that fourth quarter. What are your thoughts on Georgia and whether they should have made the college football playoff?
It was just a devastating loss on Saturday. I didn't really give us a shot to win either way, but the way we lost was just extra special. that 4th-and-11 fake punt call was just absolutely ridiculous. I didn't understand it at all. He tried to hide Justin Fields on the punt formation, our backup quarterback, freshman, number two rated quarterback in last year's recruiting class, and it did not work. It's just cool Nick Saban, believe that. I had buddies texting me all game saying, wow, you guys might pull it off, and I knew something was going to go wrong, and I was right.
I thought they had it in the bag. They looked so dominant against Tua, and then Tua went out, and I thought, well, that's it. And then Jalen Hurts came in and just completely rolled, and you're right, that fake punt was ridiculous. Once Alabama, it was clear Alabama was playing a safe punt return formation where they were actually up against the line. So they sniffed that out right from the get-go. That should have been a timeout. Switch it up. That's actually punt the thing, or at least tell them to snap it to the punter if they see something like that. So that was a huge issue. So Ryan, do you have any problems with the way the college football playoffs turned out?
No, Notre Dame's in, despite everyone whining about it because no one likes Notre Dame, not because they're not one of the top four. So that I'm happy with. And as far as Georgia, I never thought they had it in them because, they're the Atlanta Falcons junior. So the fact that they choked away a lead in the second half is no surprise to me.
There it is. Okay, and then we knew it was going to come eventually. I didn't think Georgia had a shot, but they surprised me. They were out there and playing, and then, of course, Alabama always pulled it out. What a bummer that was. But, hey, that's okay. I could count on Oklahoma and their high-fired offense. I'm not an Oklahoma fan at all, but I'm counting on them to at least give them a run for their money because, geez, this is going to suck up with Alabama already. There is actually a casino in Las Vegas that already started paying out people who actually picked Alabama to win the conference, the college football championship game preseason. So they're actually offering people the money now at a slight discount because they think they're going to get just rolled when they come collect at the end of it. What does that tell you about the college football championship? Anyway, we got lots of stuff to talk about. Let's go. We're going to be talking about the updated power rankings. We got some fantasy football playoff advice. We got week 14 DFS picks. We got a whole lot more. So let's get rolling. All right, so before we actually get started here, I know that Ryan is raring to go here. He has some issues with the way things have kind of gone as far as officiating, and I know he's not the only one. So I'll go ahead and hit the red alert, everybody. Be careful here. This is going to be dangerous, I think. Ryan, so tell us, what are your thoughts on officiating?
It's unbelievable that it's the only profession in America, aside from being a weatherman, where you can be wrong as much as you are and still have a job. And the thing that's frustrating the most to me is I'm actually one of these guys that I hate replay. I think replay is ruining sports. It slows down the pace of sports. You know, in baseball in particular, a sport that's dying because of its pace, is reviewing if the guy actually touched second base or not, the shortstop on a turn, on a double play of game five at a 162 in the second inning. And you know, you're never going to get perfect. And, you know, the Dez play a couple years ago is the perfect example of you had a perfectly clean replay, and we all still disagree. So this fact that it's the same thing with the college playoffs, that there didn't used to be a playoff, so they said put a playoffs in, and there's four teams. And people said, well, they need to go to eight. Well, last time I checked, everyone still bitches after the 64 comes out for March Madness about the 65th and 66th team. So it's just people want to bitch. And so you're never going to be perfect. But – it's gone too far the other way now. The missed offsides this year has been ridiculous. I was at the Patriots Vikings game this weekend, On both sides, it was atrociously officiated. They were wrong all day across on both teams. This is not a Patriot take. This is an officiating take. And then I wanted the Steelers to lose on Sunday night. But anyone who watched that game knows that there was a blatant block in the back on the punt return. There was a horrible offside on the first touchdown. I mean, San Diego was gift-wrapped that game because of a bunch of missed calls, and not closely missed calls, egregious missed calls. And they have a sense of entitlement because they're protected. And it shouldn't be one mistake and you're fired, but they have got to come up with a way to hold these officials accountable. And it can no longer be a job for life like it is now. And it's making the sport unwatchable. That replay and the fact that they don't care about domestic violence. I know we weren't going to touch on it, so I'd throw that jab in there.
Yeah. and actually, just to put a finer point on it, there was a ridiculous false start in that game between the Steelers and the Chargers. I believe Chargers right tackle Sam Tevy moved way before the snap. Super, super obvious. And they didn't call it. And that ended up being a touchdown, I believe. So that was a huge game changer. And of course, and then that New Orleans game, the Alvin Kamara helmet to helmet hit in the fourth quarter, that actually should have gotten them the first down and back in line for a score, which could have gotten them ahead in the game. But that Jalen Smith hit on Alvin Kamara was totally missed. And that's a safety issue. That's a safety issue. That's not just a game issue, like a false start. That is a safety issue that they blatantly missed. And I agree, there are some problems there with the officiating, major, major issues, as well as replay. I think there are some issues there as well. Any thoughts on that? Any thoughts on that, Joey, on the officiating issues?
No, I'm just super frustrated because it hurts the competitive nature of the game. Like, if I'm a team, I'm okay losing if I just get outplayed. But when I'm playing against the refs and another team, it's just super frustrating.
Right.
I didn't see anything terrible in the Bears-Giants game that I watched at 1 o'clock Sunday. It was just about an average game officiating-wise. But that Chargers-Steelers game, like Ryan said, was just ridiculous.
Right. I absolutely, absolutely agree with all those things. And I don't think we can say any more than that because I was really, really frustrated when I actually saw it. So we got it out there, and not so bad, Ron. Not so bad. I thought you were going to be a lot meaner than that, so that worked out pretty well. But let me ask you guys about this before we get into the actual details of our power rankings. Mike McCarthy being fired by the Green Bay Packers. I mean, he obviously was responsible for a number of their wins. There are some questions about whether they would have done it anyway because it was Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he's responsible for a Super Bowl win in his time there. But they've been on a downward slide for many, many years now. And I know that, Ryan, you've said that a couple times as well. But I also remember that a lot of us have talked about the Packers this year getting into the playoffs and maybe even getting to the NFC Championship game. So what do you think here? And I'm going to start with you, Joey. What do you think here about the Mike McCarthy firing?
Honestly, I think it's a long time coming. They've had struggles for about the past three seasons or so. He's actually the second Super Bowl winning coach to get fired midseason. I believe the other was Don McCafferty of the 1972 Colts. That's way before my time. But I think, like, big picture, this is going to be an important hire for the Packers, just considering their quarterback situation. Like, having – I know we throw around generational talent around a lot nowadays, but, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not even debatably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So mm-hmm. – And he's got a really small window left considering he's in his mid-30s. So I think this is one of the most important hires in a really long time. But in terms of McCarthy, I think he lands on his feet, whether it be as an offensive coordinator or head coach within the next year or two. I mean, he did win a Super Bowl. His offense has become bland over the past few seasons, but he's still a talent in the coaching world.
Right. Absolutely agree. Although, yeah, and there's a lot of question marks about what he did with the Packers this year. Ryan, why don't you sound off? What are your thoughts on Mike McCarthy and the firing?
Well, I would like to thank you for being either just a short having a short memory or being polite tonight. But forget the NFC Championship and our preseason predictions. I had the Green Bay Packers winning the Super Bowl. So
yeah, I was gonna, you know, I held back. I actually have that on my screen right now, Ryan. I'll let you know. And I totally held back. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna let him own it. This is the type of person I am. And there you go, guys. Ryan owned it. He owns it when he gets it wrong too.
I think I do a pretty good job of that. I will mention that, you know, I did have Jair Alexander correct because he's the highest rated rookie cornerback. But I had the team wrong. With that said, I'll touch on McCarthy first, and then I'll do just two more small brags after that. But Mike McCarthy, he's just as bad with game management and the game clock as Andy Reid is, without as much offensive talent. And so, as far as a play caller, so he's got the bad parts of Andy Reid, but he doesn't have the good parts that Andy Reid does that kind of make up for it. So I think this is a long time coming. This team, for a long time, has had issues now. I mean, there's no reason you should be as bad as you are with this guy at quarterback. His skill set aside, you don't have to dig very hard right now. Go out there and look. There's a lot of stories that this isn't just Mike McCarthy. And I've been telling you for a couple years on this podcast, Aaron Rodgers is a problem, and it's starting to look like it because he just wants to play backyard football. He doesn't want to actually take coaching. There was a quote today that they were picking apart on the radio that I thought was pretty funny of him talking about wanting coaching and how it's good to have someone to look back at things with. Almost saying like that he doesn't want to be told what to do in the moment, but sure, it's nice to have somebody to bounce off, look at the game film and bounce ideas off of. And it's not the first time I've suspected with a player who's supremely talented that there's an issue. Kelvin Benjamin, who just got released today, I called that in Carolina 3 years ago. And I'm starting to get the same vibe with Aaron Rodgers. It's not a knock on his talent or his athleticism. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it seems like he might be a little bit of a LeBron James, where he doesn't really want coaching. He just wants to do what he wants to do. And then everybody else is the problem when things go wrong. It's like you get all the credit, but none of the gruff. And that storyline's kind of playing old for me at this point. I've said multiple years, the last couple years, that he's too talented to not just only one Super Bowl. He's only been to one. That's not acceptable. I don't care who the coaching is, who the players you have around you. He's had decent defenses. He's had run games at times. He's never had the complete team. The example I always use with Tom Brady and why Brady I always put ahead of Aaron Rodgers, besides the fact that I'm a Patriot fan, is that Brady dragged one of the worst defense in week 10, I think it was, of the 2011 season. Troy Aikman called that Patriots defense one of the worst defenses he's ever seen in his life. And they were 2 minutes away from winning that Super Bowl. When is Aaron Rodgers going to do that? When is that Aaron Rodgers moment? So he throws a couple of Hail Marys at the end of playoff games. So anyways, long story short, I'm not surprised Mike McCarthy's out. But now that he's out, I think we got to start really taking a hard look at Aaron Rodgers. And if there's more issues with the next guy in here, then you have to really talk about whether it's Aaron Rodgers or the system around him.
Yeah, I'm the first guy to rag on Aaron Rodgers only because I'm a Bears fan and I hate the Packers. But I do think he's actually a really good quarterback. And although he doesn't want to take coaching, I think part of that might be he didn't want to take coaching from Mike McCarthy. So I don't know. I think the jury's still out. We'll see what happens through the end of the year and into next year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do as well, because they are obviously going nowhere this year, unlike what Ryan said at the beginning of the season. So let's ring the bell on that. And let's go on to the power rankings. All right, guys, let's get this rolling here. Joey, let's start with you. Give us your your updated power rankings 1 to 5.
Yeah, I got a lot of changes this week. I have the Rams at 1, the Saints at 2, the Patriots at 3, the Chiefs at 4 still, and I put the Chargers in at 5.
All right. That's not – none of that actually surprises me. It's actually pretty similar to what I did. But, Ryan, let's hear you first.
Yeah, so I didn't move the Saints at all. I'm not off on them. That was they weren't going to run the table. So that losing that game actually makes it a more of a likely chance that they're going to run the table, which I think they will from here on out. So I have the Saints 1 still, Rams 2, Chiefs are still 3, and then my revolving door of 4 and 5, I have bounced your Bears out completely. I have the Patriots at 4 and the Chargers at 5. And really between the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Bears, it just seems like none of them really want to be an elite team this year, that they just keep coughing it up and choking games out at the worst possible time. So those three are – I honestly think they're in a different class. The Patriots are in the second tier by themselves, and then it's still the Chiefs, Saints, and Rams at the top by themselves.
Yeah, and Joey was extra kind by not mentioning proactively the Bears losing to his lowly Giants in overtime there. And it was like the most exciting, crappy ending game I've ever seen that should not have been exciting for either of us, but for some reason became an exciting game. I blame a lot of things. Obviously, Chase Daniel is not any good, but either way, it is what it is. It was a tough loss, and I also bounced the Bears out of my top 5 after finally putting them in, because I didn't have them in all season long, until last week. So I have the Rams at 1, the Chiefs at 2, I have the Saints at 3, and I have the Chargers at 4 and the Pats at 5. So things changed a little bit for me. I moved the I had the Chargers in there last week at 5. They creep up a little bit. I'm impressed with what they were able to do. I mean, they didn't have Melvin Gordon, and you know, I know Pittsburgh's defense is not really Pittsburgh defense of old, but they played in Pittsburgh, and I think they did a pretty good job doing what they had to do, particularly with Austin Eckler getting shut down. So, you know, I think the Chargers have a shot there. So let me just – it looks like that we essentially have the same five teams just in a different order here. But tell me, Ryan, why are you so big on the Saints still?
Because you guys are too reactionary. They lost excuse me, those Thursday night games are weird, and I understand that it actually wasn't a short week because I keep hearing that – you know, those games are tough on a short week. I mean, both those teams played on Thanksgiving, so they had a full week
right.
to prep for that game. So not a traditional Thursday night, but it's still a weird kind of weird primetime game. I tweeted this out after the game, and I think that we're all so down on Dallas all these years, and they're kind of a laughing stock now, that I actually think it's fair to ask this question. I put this out on Twitter, and it was kind of a 50-50 reaction. I got over 100 votes, and it was, you know, am I crazy to start to think that Jalen Smith and Vander Esch is the best linebacking duo in football? Because if you watch them in that game, and I've now gotten to see them a couple of weeks in a row, they're extremely fast. They hit hard. They're extremely talented. They can cover. They can play the run. And so, I mean, I look at it and just say, again, I think that was a game that you could circle on your calendar was a good chance the Saints were going to lose. They weren't going to rifle off 17 straight wins on the way to a Super Bowl, or 18 straight wins. They lost open today. They were bound for another one, and this is a team that needs to keep winning in the Cowboys, whose defense is playing good. And I told you a couple weeks ago that the Saints' defense turned a corner, and again, they only allowed 13 points. They keep holding teams under 20 or right around that 20 mark. So nothing I saw discouraged me. Does anyone really think that was the real Saints offense we saw the other night? Is anyone really concerned that Mike Thomas and Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees aren't going to put up points in the postseason? So I don't really change anything in my purview there. Obviously, I think the Chiefs got worse because of Kareem Hunt, and the Rams, that was a pretty uninspiring win. So, you know, I don't think either one of those teams did enough to surpass the Saints at this point.
Mm-hmm. You know, interesting. So I assume that Joey, you have some of the same thoughts because you only dropped the Saints down to number 2 as well. So what are your thoughts there? I mean, you put the Rams ahead of them, but you still have them at 2. Is there something you see in the Rams that you like better than the Saints? Was this loss to the Dallas Cowboys what motivated you to make the switch? I assume that's what it was. What is it? What's the big difference here between your number 1 and 2 there?
Yeah, no. The loss to the Cowboys, I mean, it was kind of a fluky game, like Ryan said, that weird Thursday night. But I do like the Rams a little bit better. But that can change week to week as we do this every week. So I don't really have any, like, bad opinions about the Saints just over one loss. I mean, it was a fluky game, like Ryan said, or whatever. But I still have the Chiefs at 4 because that game against the Raiders was kind of scary. The Raiders are terrible. And that game was really close for a second, like decently close, considering
that
the Raiders
were the entire game.
Supposed to be one of the best teams in the league. So I was like, that kind of scared me out of moving the Chiefs up to 3 after I knocked the Bears out. So that's why I have the Pats at 3 and the Chiefs at 4. And we talked about the Chargers-Steelers game. The officiating was off, but the Chargers still did pretty well, and they're sitting at 8 or 9 wins. They could actually make a run for the division if the Chiefs keep struggling without Kareem Hunt. But,
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes is just too good. That's why I have him so high. Their offense is just so explosive. But you're right, the defense is a major issue, and it's really hard to win with zero defense. You need to have something back there. And it doesn't look like they're showing a lot of resistance now against a really terrible Oakland Raiders team. So let's ring the bell on that one. That's it for our power rankings. Let's talk about some fantasy football playoff advice, because fantasy football playoffs has started for most of us. And I know that we all part of that in some leagues, and not all leagues, but some leagues. So let's go ahead and start with you, Ryan. What kind of fantasy football playoff advice do you have for our listeners?
Yes, I don't think I have anything groundbreaking. I think that in the playoffs particularly, that people tend to, get the Tony Romo effect, where you ramp up the pressure and the stress on yourself. And, you know, my big advice is you just do what you did all year long. Don't overthink it. That, you know, one thing I've seen kind of tweeted out the last couple of days, which is absolutely stunning to me. It was kind of what I alluded to in my Saints take there, is that I know Mike Thomas has been struggling lately. Do you really think that's going to continue? And I've seen people posting polls on Twitter. Should I bench Mike Thomas this weekend? No, you should not. If you lose in the first round of the playoffs with Mike Thomas on your bench going off for 25 points, you're not going to want to ever play fantasy football again. So don't overthink it. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't get caught up too much in the matchups. Yes. If you have three or four guys that you're deciding between two flex spots between, and one has a favorable matchup, you know, guys that come to mind are Corey Davis, who's hot and cold. You know, a guy like Spencer Ware, who we don't really know a lot about now. Like, yeah, those are plays you're going to want to look at matchups and stuff. But for the most part, don't overthink it. A guy who's been reliable all year, even if he's had a couple of down weeks, you know, you gotta believe in the law of averages and they'll bounce back. So that's my overall advice and overall strategy, is just to not change too much. Do what, you know, keep doing what got you here.
Yep. All right. Well, sounds good. All right, Joey, you wanna give it a shot? What are your thoughts? What kind of strategy and advice can you give to our listeners regarding their fantasy football playoffs?
Yeah, just like Ryan said, just keep sticking with what you're doing in terms of your starters. But I want to look at your bench, which is you're gonna want to change going into the playoffs. I look at guys that are like high potential handcuffs, or one of your studs, or players are injury away from getting major volume. So guys like, if you have Zach Ertz, I'd go out and get Dallas Goedert for your bench. Wentz has a propensity to target tight ends almost more than any quarterback in the league. Another guy is Rod Smith if you have Zeke, or Malcolm Brown if you have Todd Gurley, because the Rams have the most rushing attempts. So it's like a volume guy right there. I'd also look at Rashad Penny. He could see an increased role down the stretch here. And Chris Carson has been dealing with a little bit of a nagging hip injury. So I think it'd be a good pickup as well for your bench.
Yep, no, definitely. And I think that certainly with regard to running backs, in my opinion, you definitely need to handcuff your studs to the extent you can. And if you read my article this week on waiver wire pickups, it is absolutely one of the things I stressed. And hopefully you did it right away to those who don't have waiver claims, because as we all know, James Conner having a high ankle sprain will not be playing in week 14 at least, and may not be playing for the rest of this regular season, meaning Jalen Samuels is your guy moving forward. So if you had read my column, hopefully you picked up Jalen Samuels, because I didn't follow my own advice. I did not pick up Jalen Samuels in the one league that I have James Conner, and I am thoroughly regretting it at this point, because did you guys know that in Yahoo leagues, Jalen Samuels is playable in your tight end spot? You could have the lead running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers in your tight end slot for your fantasy playoffs. So just FYI, pick them up if you have a chance, particularly in Yahoo leagues. Here are some thoughts that I have for people, and this is just a very, very general. I took a look, and I got this information from CBS Sports and from ESPN. I tallied up the passing points allowed in PPR leagues, and looked at which schedules would be best. And it turns out that two of the best passing schedules, so two of the schedules that allow the most passing points in the next fantasy football playoff week, so 14, 15, and 16, are the Browns and the Bears. Now, so you don't see a lot of receiving options there you like, but honestly, that means that Baker Mayfield, if you're struggling for some reason and you need to have a quarterback, Baker Mayfield may not be a bad play at quarterback, or in two quarterback leagues at least, in the fantasy football playoffs. And Mitchell Trubisky, assuming he comes back and is healthy, may also be okay. The Cleveland Browns facing the Panthers, the Broncos, and the Bengals, and the Bears facing the Rams, the Green Bay Packers, and the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, the Rams allowing the sixth most passing points to opposing quarterbacks. So something to keep in mind. And then one other tip on the running back level, Denver has the best schedule in the playoffs with regard to rushing points allowed. That means Philip Lindsay, the massive breakout, the guy that we all had our hands on at the beginning of the season, which is totally wrong. I totally lied. It was Royce Freeman we all thought was going to run away with this, but Philip Lindsay ends up being the guy with the best fantasy football playoff schedule against the San Francisco 49ers, Cleveland Browns, and the Oakland Raiders in championship week. So, wow, if you got Philip Lindsay off of waivers, you are probably flying high. Any last thoughts for our listeners, Ryan or Joey, regarding their fantasy football playoffs? All right, hearing none, let's move to our last topic, because we have one more thing to talk about, and that is Week 14 DFS picks. So, Ryan, you want to fire away first? What are your thoughts on Week 14 DFS?
Yeah, so I got a bunch of stuff. I just want to touch on that last segment. I was feverishly trying to pull this up on Twitter, hoping Joey was going to have some last thoughts there.
Okay.
But not to correct Joey, yep. but I did see this on Twitter break late a couple hours ago, so I just do want to update our listeners. Malcolm Brown is actually now out for the season with a broken clavicle. So if you're trying to handcuff Gurley, John Kelly is the next man up in LA.
Nice.
That came out today about 2 or 3 hours ago, just so everyone knows. Yeah, no worries.
Oh, man.
So I'll run through these quick. Obviously, I'm big on stack plays, so I'll do my number one stack this week, and then I'll kind of address a couple other guys, and then I have a really good steal for you late for DFS.
Hey.
The big, easy stack play this week. The Chargers are at home against Cincinnati, who is 32nd overall, 31 against the pass, and 32nd against the run. Mm-hmm. So Phillip Rivers, 8,300. That's the first one. Keenan Allen, 7,900. Keenan Allen over the last several weeks has put up 18, 14, 19, 16, and 29 points. And he's still 7,900, which I believe was I'm giving FanDuel values, just so everyone knows. And I believe he was the seventh highest receiver, so it's still pretty good value for a guy who's putting up that point total. Eckler struggled last week, and Justin Jackson flashed. So I'm going to ride the hot hand, especially because Justin Jackson is still only $4,500, and he put up 14.7 points last week. So if he can get you in that ballpark again for $4,500 and you have the other money to go spend on a big-end running back, that's a nice play. So that's what I'm going there. The other one I touched on this earlier, the release of Kelvin Benjamin. Right now, Zay Jones, who figures to be a target monster, is sitting at $5,100. Now, he's been kind of a weird last 3 weeks. He put up 19 points 3 weeks ago, 0 points 2 weeks ago, and 22 points last week. I'm going to ride the higher or the more consistent one of those the 3 weeks that, you know, that happened twice, the high point volume, especially there's no other options there right now. And then my secondary stack, and then I'll go into my big secret that's going to make you guys lots of money this weekend. My secondary stack is Houston at home against Indy. Indy's defense is pretty good, but that Houston offense at home, division game, they've been rolling, and all their guys are pretty fairly priced aside from Hopkins. So I love Watson at $7,800. Hopkins is $8,600, but then you can get Lamar Miller for $6,500. So you pay a little bit of a premium for Hopkins, but I think the rest of it's going to make it worth it for you. Now, on to my big secret guy this week. If I were to tell you that I had a running back, now listen to this. This might get a little confusing, but just hear me out here, who in his last six games has played three top 10 defenses against the run and then three teams that were not top 10. In the three games that he played against top 10 defenses, he only averaged 4.2 points per game in fantasy. In the three where he played teams outside of the top 10, he's averaged 20.5 points per week. He is this week going against the 30th rush defense in football, against at least according to FanDuel, and he's only $6,900. Would that be a guy that you would want to play this weekend?
Sounds like a winner.
His name is Sony Michel. Now, the Patriots historically struggle down in Miami because the heat, especially this time of year, Brady and Belichick historically struggle down there. My man Sony Michel is from Florida, went to school in Georgia, and he destroys defenses outside the top 10, and he has almost the perfect matchup this weekend. Sony Michel and only $6,900. You pair him and Justin Jackson, you can pretty much do whatever the hell you want with the rest of your lineups this weekend.
good advice there. I love it. All right, Joey, give us your thoughts on DFS.
Yeah, so I got three guys and a stack that I'm looking at this week. I like Travis Kelce versus the Ravens. He's 8,000 on FanDuel, which is a little high. I know the Ravens have a pretty stout defense, but guarding tight ends has kind of been problematic for them. They've given up 5 touchdowns to tight ends in their last 6 games. My next guy is going to be Chris Godwin versus the Saints. I know we talked about how the Saints defense improved throughout the year, but they had that week one matchup where Tampa just kind of went off. Chris Godwin had a really good game last week, 5 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown, and he's only 4,900 on DraftKings right now. My next guy is Aaron Jones versus the Falcons. We saw guys like Kamara, Elliott, Chubb, Barkley, and McCaffrey have really big games. against Atlanta. I believe he's sitting at 7,500 right now. And I like Packers in general against the Falcons this week, especially after McCarthy firing, because, you know, teams kind of just have, like, better games after their head coaches get fired. That seems to be a thing. So I like that matchup as well. Stack-wise, Ryan mentioned Chargers, and he mentioned Houston. But I like New Orleans this week, Breeze, Thomas, Kamara. Breeze had 39 DraftKings points in week one against Tampa. And Kamara is actually averaging 34 DraftKings points against Tampa in his career. And, you know, we talked about that weird game against Dallas, but I expect a big bounce-back game for New Orleans.
All right. Well, that's all great, great options there in DFS. And I only got two more to add for you, both of you guys. I mean, I love the Justin Jackson play, by the way, Ryan. I think it's great. I mean, he's only, like you said, $4,500 on FanDuel, and he is actually only $3,800 on DraftKings against a really terrible Cincinnati defense. Add on to that, the guy I just talked about, Jalen Samuels, he is only $4,600 on FanDuel, and he is only a measly $3,700 on DraftKings, and he's up against Oakland, the second worst run defense in the NFL next week. I think he's going to be a monster there, and for $3,700, he doesn't have to do much in order to reach value. And I'll throw one more guy into the mix for our running backs, as you can tell that I'm not going to spend up on running back this weekend. I love Jeff Wilson Jr., who is going to be taking over for Matt Breida in San Francisco. He has a little bit of a harder matchup against the Denver Broncos. It will be at home. Denver only has the 11th ranked rush defense in the NFL. But still, he's going to get all the run he can get. He's going to get all the pass targets as well. And for only $5,600 on FanDuel and only $3,800 on DraftKings, you get those three guys, Samuels, Jackson, and Wilson, into your lineup, and basically you can spend up everywhere else on DFS. So that's what I think about it right there. And we are now down to the end of our show. It can always happen so fast. Let's blow the air horn on the show. All right, Ryan, why don't you give us your social media so people can follow you?
Yeah, as I'm getting ready here to say my Twitter handle, I do want to mention I was just scrolling through Instagram while we were finishing up here, and just saw Odell Beckham Jr. apparently said to Russell Westbrook, Jesus, do I need to come to this game Wednesday and lock you up or not? Which is funny, because to play defense in the NBA, you have to have contact, which, as we saw on Sunday, Odell Beckham Jr. wants no part of. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Whitfield NE.
Right. He, for some reason, he thought he was able to create enough wind from his hand to blow the ball outside, out of bounds. So who knows? Maybe, you know, who knows? I don't know. I don't know Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know what he was thinking, but that's the way it is. Joey, your guy's taking a hit here, but give us your social media so people can follow you.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore that Odell did. It hurts my heart a little bit that he acted like Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, but you can follow me at Joey Libro.
All right, and you can follow me at FB Garbage Time. As always, thank you for coming and wasting time with us. And until next time, enjoy your NFL week.